So, happy day before Thanksgiving, everyone. And here's a question for you. Will you be eating turkey tomorrow? It's a safe bet that many of you, if not most of you, will be.
Turkey, after all, is the staple of a traditional Thanksgiving meal. That said, non-traditional Thanksgiving meals are beginning to gain in popularity. Some of these include new and interesting ways of preparing the turkey. Others include no turkey at all. So, before we say goodbye today, we are going to spend a little time talking about some interesting recipes and ideas for tomorrow's holiday feast.
Joining us today to share some twists on the traditional roast turkey meal are three well-known Boston foodies. Amy Traverso is the senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine and the author of the Apple Lovers Cookbook. Amy, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Michael Leviton is the chef and owner of Lumiere in Newton, an Area 4 in Cambridge. Michael, great to meet you face-to-face.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you as well.
And Brian Van Etten is the head chef at the Cambridge vegetarian eatery Veggie Galaxy. Brian, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And happy Thanksgiving to all of you. So, Amy, let me start with you. Tell us about some of the less traditional techniques for preparing turkey, which are gaining popularity.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people now are very familiar with the idea of brining a turkey, kind of soaking it in a salted water with spices and some sugar. It's a great way to ensure that the breast meat, which cooks more quickly, remains moist while you're waiting for those thighs to cook. And that's the problem with turkey, is it's a big bird and it's not that easy
to
cook.
Right, and it cooks unevenly.
Right. So brining keeps that moisture in, and it also just adds flavor. It's a great thing to do. However, the one downside to brining is sometimes the breast meat can get a little bit spongy. Mm. Nothing bad, but just a tiny bit spongy. So there's this alternate method, which is called dry brining or dry curing or just salting, some people call it, where you put the salt and spices directly on the skin of the bird and let that sit for a few days, 2 or 3 days. And you get the advantage of brining without that spongy texture.
So is this what you brought
That's
here?
What
because
I brought
it
in.
Smells amazing. So here's what I'm going to suggest. Do you want to cut off a piece so that we can taste it? And in the meantime, I'll move on to Michael. Michael Leviton, for those of us who want to maintain the tradition but who wants something other than a frozen supermarket bird, you're a fan of something called heritage turkeys, right?
Yes. My friends Bill and Nicolette Nyman own and operate the BN Ranch in Bolinas, California. And among other things, they raise turkeys. Mm. They raise 6 different breeds of heritage turkeys, as well as the more traditional broad-breasted white.
So are these the turkeys, for instance, I spend time in southern New Hampshire, and every now and then a turkey will go charging across the field. It's the traditional American wild turkey.
Yeah, they're much closer to the ones that are in my neighborhood in Lexington than are the broad-breasted white Purdue factory farm bird. And these are really, this is a small operation. These are birds that spend their entire lives, you know, from the time they're 8 weeks old, they are outside eating the right food. And, you know, Nicolette tells this great story of having to get the birds off of the barn roof.
How does a heritage turkey compare to the sort of standard turkey that you're going to get at the standard supermarket?
It's a very different bird in many ways. It's gamier. The breast meat, although white, is still, it has a distinctly richer, deeper, more wild flavor. And raising these animals the right way, they taste so much deeper and richer than our traditional dry turkey.
And my guess is that you're going to pay a little more for these.
Significantly more.
Significantly more. But worth it in your view?
Absolutely.
All right. Amy, in the meantime, you've sliced some of this dry cured turkey, which looks beautiful, and it's filled this studio with a great aroma, so I'm going to try it.
It has a mixture of herbs. There's rosemary, thyme, sage, mustard seed, and salt and pepper.
It's really, really good. So it's got a nice salty flavor to it. It's delicious. And listeners, we're going to put all these recipes and ideas on our website at radioboston.org. So you'll get all that information there. Brian, let me come over to you, because Thanksgiving shouldn't be a holiday that vegetarians dread or are excluded from. So you're head chef of the popular vegetarian restaurant Veggie Galaxy in Cambridge. You've brought in something that looks amazing. Tell us what you've done here.
Well, first and foremost, I think that the vegetarian community, although they're not eating, consuming turkey, they still like to be a part of that tradition. They still like to have something at the forefront of their meal. So at the restaurant, we make seitan, which is basically rinsed wheat until all you have is the glutinous part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's made into a dough with a lot of spices. We have a lot of toasted fennel seed in here. There is some toasted allspice. And After you make a dough, you gently cook it. And then we've rolled it, and inside we've rolled it with a bunch of roasted shiitake mushrooms. We've added some golden raisins that we plumped in a little white wine and a touch of cinnamon. And after we've rolled it up, we re-cook it so it adheres together. It looks like a roulade, some would say. And then finally, this morning, I just braised it very gently with a little dark beer and a little apple cider.
Oh, wow. It looks so beautiful. So why don't you slice some pieces off here? And in the meantime, I'd love to ask you, while you're doing that, what's the sort of key to successful cooking with, with faux meat products, like seitan, for example?
The key is, for me, is to try to imitate less. If what I did as a chef at a vegetarian restaurant was to truly imitate bacon, I wouldn't have a job. It's not possible to get that texture, that flavor, that aroma from mushrooms or from tempeh or from tofu. From my perspective, vegetarian food doesn't have to be a straight imitation. It just has to be good, and it has to somehow slightly replace what's missing on the meal, such as, you know, you cannot make wheat gluten taste like a turkey. And so that's not what I went for here. I went to make wheat gluten, which is high in protein, which is what a lot of vegetarians are looking for. And I went to just make that flavorful and good.
Well, I look forward to tasting that. And while you're cutting that, Michael, let me come back to you. And for the purists out there who want to roast their turkeys, whether it's a heritage turkey or traditional turkey, I know you teach students at Boston University's Culinary Arts Program. So for those of us unaccustomed to roasting a turkey, what are the most important pointers we need to be aware of?
I think that, as Amy pointed out before, there's the traditional problem of the breast cooking before the legs. And there are a couple of different ways around this, depending on whether you've stuffed your bird or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't stuffed your bird, I like to blast it in a 500-degree oven until it begins to brown up nicely, but then drop the oven temperature to about 250 degrees and cook it very, very slowly.
I see.
And that helps to cook everything a little more evenly without drying it out.
Mm.
With a stuffed bird, you have to go a slightly higher temperature because you don't want the stuffing in there to be in contact with the raw meat for too long.
And what do you like? I mean, do you prefer cooking a stuffed bird, or is there an advantage?
I actually fry my turkey.
You see, this is what I wanted to ask.
Okay,
the next question.
Okay, so we fry a turkey. Glad you asked.
Yeah. I've done that a couple of times with some success. It's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
I think
it's
I did a 16-pound turkey in something like 45 minutes, which is
It's
incredible.
Just about 3 minutes a pound.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, get your inner redneck on for a day or so.
Don't do it on your wooden deck.
Exactly.
Don't do it in your kitchen, right?
It was actually raining one time when I did it, and I stood out there with the umbrella for 45 minutes. I wouldn't recommend doing it in the rain either.
Right. My father did it in his garage with all my uncles smoking cigars.
Okay. Oh, good.
It turned out great.
Yeah.
Nice way to bring family dysfunction under one roof. Yeah, that sounds great. Which is what Thanksgiving's all about,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
Sorry, Michael.
No. I was going to say something inappropriate, so it's probably good that you get a fabulous tasting bird.
Yeah.
You get wonderful crispiness. It stays really moist.
But here's my question. What do you do about the stuffing? Because, of course, can't fry stuffed.
Right. There's the problem with that. So the last time we did Thanksgiving at home, I fried one and then roasted another one with the stuffing. Because to me, one of the best parts of Thanksgiving is the stuffing that comes from that one particular area just at the opening of the cavity of the bird,
mm-hmm.
where you get both that interplay of crisp, slightly dried out stuffing and where it's also absorbed all of the great juice from the turkey.
Mm. Now, I got a couple more questions, but Brian has sliced up this turkey made from wheat protein, so I want to give it a shot.
Wow, that's really cool.
This is amazing. The seitan, it has the texture of meat, and this has delicious flavor, by the way.
However you treat it, you can have it contain all sorts of different textures.
Yep.
At the restaurant, we make huge logs of it, shave it, and it has the texture and shape and look of deli meat.
Hmm.
The same token, we'll make smaller logs, cook it a little bit less, cut it into patties, and we call it chorizo patties. It's like little sausage patties fried up on the grill. You can really modify this product any way you want.
Amy, I'm curious to come back to you. Why do you think more and more people are choosing to break with this sort of tradition? Or are they? Is that what you're observing out there?
I think people are actually more traditional with Thanksgiving than a lot of meals, maybe any other meal of the year. I think there are certain dishes that just are emotionally salient for them that you just wouldn't feel like Thanksgiving without them. But what they are doing is playing with the seasonings. And I think that's a great approach. Keep your turkey, keep the stuffing, you know, just vary it slightly. But, you know, and then you always have to have Aunt Helen's green bean casserole. And that's fine. Have that because it's something we look forward to every year. But, you know, in the November issue of Yankee, we have a great recipe for sweet potatoes that are cooked in a chai spiced glaze. And it's, you know, it's familiar, but it's a little bit of a twist. And I think that's what people are looking for.
So something that I've noticed about family traditions. In our family, we've certainly held on to some that everyone seems to like. But for the longest time, we realized that we were holding on to traditions that nobody liked. For example, everyone thought that we had to have creamed onions because creamed onions were always a part of Thanksgiving. And then one day, and it was like, but no one likes them. Do you like them? No, I make them because I thought you liked them. Well, I was eating them because I thought. It turned out that nobody liked creamed onions. So they were finally banished after about 40 years of Thanksgiving tradition.
Yeah, I think it's good to have every new generation. When the next generation steps up, you have a family meeting and you figure out what you're keeping and what you're getting rid of.
Let me ask you all what your favorite Thanksgiving meal tradition is that might be a little out of the ordinary. Michael, let me put you on the spot first.
For me, it's now the fried turkey. That's become a tradition.
Yeah.
And even though we're going to somebody else's house these days, we still set up the turkey fryer and do an extra bird that way.
I think it's a great idea. How about you, Amy?
In my family, my grandmother always made this sort of a squash souffle that was served with the turkey, but it really was essentially pumpkin pie filling baked in a big souffle dish. So for us as kids, it was a great way to get dessert before dessert was served. And so I continue to make that dish, and it's a big crowd pleaser.
Brian?
A more general tradition, my family has recently turned towards having a kind of like a cooking competition for Thanksgiving where everyone, to relieve the stress of one person doing the whole meal, everyone brings something, and we actually have a trophy we pass around to that year's winner based on who had the best dish.
Oh, that's a great idea. So who won last year?
Last year I won.
You won. And what was it?
It was a very straightforward, simply roasted Brussels sprouts, a little chorizo in there, some red pepper chili flake, and some garlic and shallot.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, can we get that recipe on the website,
Absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely.
That sounds fantastic. Brian Van Etten is the head chef at the Cambridge Vegetarian Eatery Veggie Galaxy. Brian, thanks so much for coming in, and happy Thanksgiving.
My pleasure. Same to you.
And Amy Traverso is the senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine. Amy, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
And Michael Leviton, the chef and owner of Lumiere in Newton and Area 4 in Cambridge. Michael, thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
And you can find more information and ideas, including photos of our chefs and their special Thanksgiving recipes, at RadioBoston.org.
That is all for our program today. And if you are on the road right now, please do drive safely. And from all of us at Radio Boston, we are tremendously grateful for you and your listening. So have a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.